The Lexus, a block ahead, stopped at the Shell station. Wyatt played it safe and tucked into a gravel parking lot behind the Flamingo garage. He didn't want to spook Bledsoe. On the strip, with all that traffic, a dozen lanes of stacked-up cabs and buses and rented Chevy Avios buzzing around, you could practically sit in a guy's own back seat and he'd never notice you. Koval Lane, though, which ran behind the hotels, was deserted an hour before the afternoon shift change. If you wanted to stay invisible, you better keep your distance. The overpass, just overhead, boomed and shuddered. Wyatt watched Bledsoe swipe his American Express Black card at the pump. Wyatt had to smile. Bledsoe did everything with a flourish. Swiping his credit card, tucking into pan-roasted sea scallops, walking across a casino floor. With panache. Even when no one was watching. Even when he thought no one was watching. The Lexus and the black Amex were red flags. Or were they? Over the past 18 months, Bledsoe had been late 3 times on the Lexus lease. He'd been dinged $2,000 in fees on the card. That might mean something. Or anything. Or nothing. Bledsoe, who worked at Caesars, was up for a big job at the Mirage, senior vice president of sales and marketing. The Mirage loved him. They loved the MBA from Wharton, the 3 years at Caesars, the 2 years before that at Citibank. They loved Bledsoe's fresh vision and his functional Mandarin, junior year abroad, and his panache. But until Wyatt filed his report, the Mirage wasn't going to offer Bledsoe a job picking pubic lice off the jacuzzi filters. Wyatt had been on Bledsoe for the past 2 weeks and so far had nothing to report. Bledsoe got up every morning at 8, the crack of dawn by Vegas standards. He hit the gym in his building and ran 4 miles on the treadmill. Curls, crunches, squats. Afterward, he showered, gelled back his hair, and flirted with the girl, petite, blonde, bangs, who taught a hot yoga class at 9. On the way to Caesars, Bledsoe stopped at Starbucks for a venti Americano, room for cream, the first of 3 he'd knocked back before noon. He worked clients all day and all night, laughing and slapping backs, and just generally spreading around the Bledsoe panache. His only real meal of the day was around 5 at the hotel steakhouse, where he caught up with email and flirted with the girl, petite blonde bangs, who brought him his sea scallops and heirloom tomato salad, oil and vinegar on the side. After lunch, Bledsoe usually ran a few errands. He picked up his dry cleaning. He picked up hair gel. He filled up the Lexus. He returned a wonky Blu-ray player to Best Buy or browsed the Pottery Barn at Rampart Commons. He flirted with the girl who sold sunglasses from a kiosk at Rampart Commons. How did you guess? She was petite. She was blonde. She had bangs. Oh yes, Bledsoe knew what he liked. So why, then, was his girlfriend a tall, athletic redhead, no bangs? Why was his other girlfriend a full-figured brunette, no bangs? A mystery. Or maybe not. People, in Wyatt's experience, often wanted what they didn't have. Or if you preferred an even bleaker perspective, they often had what they didn't want. Bledsoe, at age 30, seemed to have it all. The job, the car, 2 very attractive girlfriends he managed to juggle without either girl finding out about the other, a closet full of Tom Ford suits, a huge glass-walled bachelor pad on the next-to-top floor of a luxury tower complex called Veer, right in the heart of the strip. Wyatt checked to see if any of that secretly annoyed him, that a kid 11 years younger than him drove an $80,000 Lexus and made 3 times the money he did. No. Wyatt decided he was cool. He had what he wanted, wanted what he had. A 4-year-old Honda Accord in good shape and paid off. Perfectly suitable suits from J. Crew. A 3-bedroom house that was small but comfortable. The house was almost paid off, too. And Wyatt worked for himself, which meant he took the jobs he wanted, passed on the ones he didn't. He might never get rich, but neither would he ever find himself pacing around a Shell station, checking his email and voicemail and text messages yet again, sweating it out while some corporation decided his professional fate. Wyatt yawned. How long did it take to gas up a Lexus? Well, yeah, By now, he knew exactly how long it took to gas up Alexis.